Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's fun to be family and joke and love one another. Hallelujah. The Lord put a message on my heart today titled Ambassadors of Christ. And Lord, we just thank you that as we bring forth your word today, that you open our heart, open our understanding, and let us get deep down in our hearts. Let us grab hold of your word, that it will be a light to our path, Lord, that it will go with us, and that we will be just saturated with all of your word, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Well, there are many ambassadors in the United States from other countries. They live here representing their country. The United States sends ambassadors to many of the countries of the world to live there, and they are there representing us in that foreign country. Well, we are living in this world, and God wants us to be ambassadors representing God's kingdom. We are ambassadors representing the kingdom of God. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. And it says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. In other words, he wasn't counting their sin, holding their sins against them. And has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are to represent God's kingdom to this world. And it is God's desire that his kingdom come to this world and come into people's lives. In Luke 11, 2, he commanded us, Jesus told us to pray, your kingdom come and your will be done here as it is in heaven. That's his desire, and he wants us in agreement praying for his kingdom to come. We're going to 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And one of the way his kingdom comes is through the ministry gifts to his church. And Ephesians 12, 28 lists, we're not going there, I'm sorry, I was just going to tell it. I didn't put it on my list. But it lists helps as a ministry gift. All of us are called to be in the ministry of helps. Whatever we do, all of us are called to help one another, help in the church, help wherever God puts it on our heart to help. In Mexico, Calvin and I's principal purpose is to be a help to the Mexican pastors. We find out what is on your heart, what has God called you to do, and we get behind them and help them do what God has called them to do. Through finances, through help, through teams coming in, whatever, we have a ministry of helps to the Mexican pastors. And just last night, the Lord put it on my heart to share some testimonies with you. It was on September 29th in 1985 that Calvin received a mandate from the Lord that said, arise and go forth on a new venture of faith, and I will bless thee and use thee and keep thee safe. And so we started right then on that venture of faith. And there was some danger with it. There was a lot of unknowns with it. But we started. And he said, if you will go on the venture of faith that I give you, I will be with you. Amen. Bless you and use you and keep you safe. And that's the day that we met Jose Luis de la Torre and started helping him in what God had called him to do. And that Christmas on December 87, we did our first Christmas program. Jose was doing Christmas programs, and we went and helped him gather gifts, helped him go to the Pueblos and do Christmas programs. So it got into our heart, the Christmas programs that he was doing. And then it was in 87 when we actually moved from Sierra Vista to Douglas in a little shack right close to the border. But anyway, we moved down and began to work full time in missions. And as soon as we moved, God put a burden on my heart. A travailing prayer came upon me. And we had been to Agua Prieta, but we hadn't been further south down in there. But it came on my heart, a burden for the people down there. And I began to spend hours and hours, really all the time. I was just praying, and I was saying, God, send your light to all of these people that need you. And I was praying just that direction. I would pray, and I would weep, and I'd say, God, send someone with the good news to those that do not know you down there, Lord. They need you. And so I began to pray. And then it was a little while later, in our house, Pastor Jesus Espinosa from Cumpas and Oscar Hoyos, pastor in Divisaderos, they came and they knocked on our front door. And we didn't know them, but they had heard about us and they wanted to meet us. So we had a lovely time with them. And Bobby had just been given several big boxes of books from Rhema, Kenneth Hagin books. And anyway, we gave them a bunch of those books, and they begin to read them and eat them up, and they begin to say, oh, that's what I've been so hungry for. They hadn't been filled with the Spirit or introduced to these things, and they ate it up. They were so glad to get it. And so Calvin and I began to go down into the area of Compass, and we started and we did a survey of a radius of 100 miles around Cumpas. Well, 50 miles every direction, but it came almost to the border, the way the bird flies. But in that circle, we found 100 towns, little pueblos, and that we found about 5 very small, struggling Protestant churches in that entire region. It was almost Christianity, was almost the message of salvation, was almost unheard of there. So we began to pray, and we began to seek God, and we began to go to different towns. And we would go, and we would walk, and we'd say, Jesus, people from this town are going to be before your throne on that day. And we would pray, and then we would look for ways to go in there. And we begin to take pastors with us. Let's go do some services over there. And then the Lord put it on our hearts to start doing the Christmas programs that Jose had been doing on the border, to take them down into those pueblos. So we began to go to Juan de la Parra and a team of children that did the program, and we began to go to different pueblos all down in that area. And we went to many, 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 many towns for a lot of years with the Christmas program. And then we also added VBSs. We began to do VBSs down there, where we would go into towns that didn't have the gospel, and we would stay a week and teach the word a week and get to know the people and become friends with the people. Well, you know, there's been a lot put in it, but today, of those 100 towns, I think everyone but maybe 3 of them have gospel Christian churches. And many of them have multiple churches in their towns. And, you know, a lot of people helped, a lot of people worked, but it made a difference to do what God was calling us to do. And we can see that it was an area of darkness, and light came in. There's light there now. All the towns are saturated with light. And there's still, you know, there's still some drug dealers out there, and there's still some things going wrong. But overall, light has come into that region. And that's good news. Pastor Jesus recently told us from news he got from Mexico City that Sonora is the safest state in Mexico, and that Cumpas was the safest area of Sonora. That's what the light does. Light expels the works of darkness. So that's just good news. Amen. Hallelujah. And then about 5 years ago, Bobby had been working down in Navajo, and we've been in that area praying too. But about 5 years ago, he felt led to have his El Shaddai graduates that were there. They were having a meeting, and he says, every one of you do a survey in a radius around where you live. And I don't remember, it was like 20, 30 kilometers of where you live. And find any communities there that don't have a gospel witness, that don't have a light. And so they did that, and there was a lot, and they started going out and doing Christmas programs and VBSs in these places. And now there's churches raising up because the light came in. Hallelujah. We put, this last year we put $7,000 into the Christmas sacks in Navajoa because they're reaching over 70 towns or pueblos, communities, and have a whole lot of different teams that go out to all of these places. So the light is expanding. The light is coming on in the places that there were darkness. The light comes on, and when the light comes on in a community, it changes it. Hallelujah. When God's presence come in, hallelujah, demon spirits are expelled, and angels are free to work there. Amen. It makes a difference. Okay. We're going to look a little bit at the fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And it says, and he himself, speaking of God, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay, God gave a fivefold ministry: apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. He gave fivefold ministries, and he says, I give it until that there's a perfect man to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, are we there yet? Not yet. We're still working on it. But so that's why we still need the fivefold ministry ministering to us. And that's because we believe in plural ministries in our church. We don't believe that we can give you everything you need. Any one of us, we need the different ministries that minister, because every one of them gives us something else we need. It builds us up. And it just keeps life interesting. It keeps things good. We just love having the fivefold ministry at work within our church. It's what we need. The different functions of the church are like gears working together. And oil, love is the oil that keeps them running smoothly. And love isn't self-seeking. Love gives. A church is like a family, and every member should help with the function of the church community. In a home, children that grow up helping in the home are much more stable when they reach adulthood. They're not lost. They say, I can do this. I can fix a meal. I can do things. So children that grow up working in a home are more mature, better adults when they grow up. And so people, everybody needs to work in the church. And everyone that has needs to have something to do and be a part of the working of the church. Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Every joint. The body works together because every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Then we're going on to Philippians 2:3, and it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. So we're to always look at others as better than ourselves. And that doesn't leave room for any selfishness. 1 Corinthians 16:14 tells us that let all that you do be done in love. So love is the foundation. It's what builds us up. Hebrews 3:13 admonishes us to exhort one another daily. Exhort means to build up daily. Encourage one another. Bless one another. If someone's having a hard time, just cheer them up. Encourage them. Bless them. Amen. We're going to read Hebrews 10:25-26. It says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Every believer needs to be a functioning part of a local church. You can watch TV, you can get born again, you can hear the word, and that's good. I mean, I'm glad the word's out there. You know, people need that word, and I'm thrilled that it's there. We need to do all the evangelizing we can, but God made the body of Christ to function together as a whole and to be a part of one another. And so if the Lone Rangers that don't go to church anywhere just can't grow to the same degree as people functioning within a body of believers, we help each other grow. Hallelujah. The Great Commission in Mark 16:15 tells us, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Does this scripture say to try to get people to come to the church to get saved and healed? No, it says go. Go into the world. There's a lot of new teachings about the seven mountains of culture that they kind of divide the different areas, and they are the church, the family, the education, government, business, media, and arts of entertainment. And so these are different areas of culture that are divided, and God wants us to go into the culture, into different mountains where he's called us to be and have an effect there. Amen. 3% of the people at the top controls what happens within a mountain of influence. And God wants to use you where you are. He wants to use you in this church. He wants to use you in your home. He wants to use you where you work. Anything that you're a part of, God wants to use you there. He wants for you to be an influence where you are. We're going to look at some biblical examples. Remember, Joseph had been sold into slavery in Egypt, and he found himself in prison in Egypt. And God gave a heathen ruler, the Pharaoh, a divinely inspired dream, and he set up things so that the only one that could interpret the dream was Joseph that was in prison. And so Joseph interpreted the dream of Pharaoh, and Joseph ended up being lifted up to a place of authority and influence in that kingdom. What if Joseph would have had a poor me attitude? I'm so mad at God because I went through all this horrible stuff, and he went through lots of unjust stuff. It wasn't anything his fault, and he suffered. But if he kept his relationship with God right through it all. If he would have been angry, God wouldn't have been able to use him the way he intended to. But all the things he went through were really a setup to get him to a place of leadership in Egypt. God used it. Hallelujah. What if God is still in the business of giving inspired dreams to unsaved rulers? What if those unsaved rulers cannot solve their increasingly complex problems without modern-day Josephs like you? What if God wants to position you to be in a place of influence where you can give God's word in a situation? Amen. A similar thing happened to Daniel. He was taken captive from his homeland. He was taken as a slave or a captive to Babylon. But Daniel, through it all, he kept his relationship with God right. He prayed. He prayed faithfully. He prayed regularly. He stood up for what he believed and was right. And because he stayed in fellowship with God, he ended up having great influence in Babylon. We're going to read Daniel 2:20 through 23. After God had told Daniel the king's dream and the interpretation, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." Number 22, he reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells in him. So we are God's children. We know God. And God reveals hidden and secret things. And he will reveal things to us in his time to make a difference for his kingdom. Amen. We're going to go on read Daniel 2, 48 through 49. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. In those days, the leaders always sat in the gate. The gate was a place where leaders came to talk. It was a place of influence. And and there's just a remnant that shape spheres and influence governments and different organization. Proverbs 29:2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan." So we want God to raise up people in the government that know him, that talk to him, that he can use. And so anyway, and then 1 Timothy 2:2 is a command to us. It says, "Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live a peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity." So for every born-again believer, we are commanded to pray for those in authority, whether we like them or whether we don't. Whatever party we're from, we're commanded to pray for them, that God will use them, that he will give them the influence that they need to make godly decisions so that we can live a peaceful life. Amen. Amos 5:15 says, "Hate evil, love good. Establish justice in the gate," that's the place of influence. "It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph." We need to be praying that justice will be established in Douglas. Amen. So that God can have his way in our city. And I think the mayor and some of our councilmen are born-again believers. That's good news. And we need to continue to pray and hold up that God puts his people of influence in places of authority. so that we can, hallelujah, so that the Lord of hosts will be gracious to us. Prophetic insights change strategies at the gate. Prayer plus seeing in the spirit produces a shift in the atmosphere. And proximity is power. It's a secret to authority. Being in where God wants us to be at the right time with our influence from the Lord will change situations. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants to share secrets with his people for solving problems in every sphere of influence. When you share the key of fixing a problem, then you bring godly influence into the situation. You need to surround and fill the place where you work with prayer. Many times buildings house evil spirits that people that work there, they can bring those evil spirits with them, or the evil spirits may have been there a long time. But where we work, evil spirits can dwell in businesses, in homes, in schools. They can dwell in places. And so we need to carry the presence of the Lord and carry prayer in where we work. When a place is saturated in prayer, it changes the atmosphere. When the kingdom shows up, it evicts evil spirits, devils are bound, and angels are loosed. It's so important, you know, where you work, find someone to pray with. Pray there on location. You know, and I think I'm ahead of myself, but you know, for a lot of years, we went to the high school. We went to all the schools in town, but we prayed at the high school. We went and we prayed. Hallelujah. And then God put it in your hearts to start a Bible club. And it seemed impossible, but you did it. With God's help, you did it. And now, you know, it's easier for the young people to get born again because the presence of God is there. And the evil spirits that were hindering are bound and cast out. Because when you fill a place with prayer, those evil spirits have to leave. How they don't, they're not comfortable there anymore. Fill where you pray, where you work, where you are. Fill it with prayer. Fill it with prayer. Fill it with godly influence. Hallelujah. James 4:7 tells us, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So what we do first, submit to God, be yielded to him, you know, be in fellowship with him. And then when you resist the devil, he has to go. And Hebrews 1:14 says, therefore angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. Hallelujah. Psalms 103:20-21. We're going to read that. And it says, praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans. This is talking about God's plans. The scripture also tells us that Jesus is the head of the host. He's the captain of the host of the angelic armies. Hallelujah. And so, yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. When the atmosphere in a place changes, you'll find it easier for people to be born again because what was hindering them is gone. When two or more people in your home or place of work join together in one accord, praying the same thing, the power multiplies greatly. You know, it's just like when more of you in one pray, there's more power in it. The new big in the church world is going to be the micro church located wherever people are. The Bible club at the high school is a micro church that's brought the presence of God into that place and a shining testimony of the power of God. Hallelujah. And God wants prayer to be in every place we work. He wants prayer to be there. Hallelujah. Matthew 18, 18 through 20 says, "Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." That's real powerful. Verse 19, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Amen. The word agree in the Greek word is symphoneo, which is where we get our word symphony. When you pray in harmony, it's not two people praying their own different things. It's when people pray in harmony, in one accord, joined together. Hallelujah, that there's great power. Thank you, Jesus. There's great power in unity, and there's great weakness in division. And when two or more people are in a love relationship with each other and the Lord, it's a setup for a habitation, not a visitation of the Spirit. Where we are in one accord in a love relationship, we love God and we love one another, it invites the presence of the Lord for a habitation where he dwells, where he stays there. Who is in our love company, in one mind and one accord, with a relationship based on love that overshadows differences of opinion or problems that may arise? The anointing is found in that quality of relationship. And from that quality of relationship comes authority and administration of God's kingdom. In other words, our love for one another needs to be greater than our different personalities, our difference of opinion on doctrine or whatever. If we have a love relationship that supersedes everything else, God's presence is going to be there for his purpose and his plan. Amen? I don't know any perfect people. And we all see the world different. You know, we all see things different. Even scriptures, we will interpret scriptures different ways. You know, I was listening to Bill Johnson recently, and he said, you know, they have like 50 pastors in their church, and he says, none of us agree completely on how the Lord's coming or when or anything like that, but our love is greater than whatever we don't understand. It's love is the greatest thing. That we need to love one another, even though we're not perfect, and even though we have difference of an opinion about things, love is just vital. It's the most important thing. It's the greatest. Hallelujah. And where we are in a love relationship, God can move, the Spirit can flow. Amen. Ecclesiastes 4:12. Says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. In the late 1700s and early 1800s, there was a politician in England named William Wilberforce. He was a Christian and a parliament member. And when he went into office, England was wicked. It was a very wicked nation. It had slavery, child labor, severe poverty, and every form of wickedness. It was just like there was no morals. It was an awful place in England when he went into office. And during his political career, Wilberforce was successful in having 179 laws changed in England to create an atmosphere for morality and a higher quality of life. At the same time, there were two major revivals going on there, taking place with John and Charles Wesley, who formed the Methodist Church, and George Whitfield. And the result of the Reformation and the Revival was a Victorian England. It came out totally different than when they went into it. And during this time, Wilberforce, Wesley, and Whitfield and others met every week to pray together. Think how great is that? The politicians and the evangelists meeting every week to pray with one another. That's pretty powerful. Hallelujah. Reformation comes from the top down. It's important for God's people to rise to the top where they have the influence to change laws and mindsets. Revival starts from the bottom up. Fire rises. Revival works on the consciousness of the people. Revival is needed to change hearts. When you change legislation without changing the consciousness of the people, you get a backlash, like in the Prohibition. In the Prohibition, it was illegal to drink, and all hell broke loose. You know, people, the society just went worse. They told them, you can't drink, so they just increased in their evilness. And look at the drug culture. You know, drugs are illegal in the United States, but at least 8% of Americans use illegal drugs, even though they're illegal. The government spends over $200 million a year for prevention and treatment, and there have been thousands of people killed in the drug wars in the last 15 years. Thousands and thousands. And yet it's illegal. But has it stopped it? No, we need revival. We need revival to change the hearts of the people. Psalms 2:8 says, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. God wants to give us nations, not just people. He wants to give us nations. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all people. No, he said, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. When you come into a sphere of influence with God's presence and prophetic insight, you have authority. We need to care deeply. We need to say, Father God, what do you feel? We need to pick up the heart and compassion of God. What's breaking God's hearts needs to break our hearts. Join with God in what he's doing. Care about what he cares about. What's his passion? Move toward what moves you. Hallelujah. John 5:19, Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. The cries of our heart need to echo the cries of God's heart. We are to do what we see our Father do because he loves us. He will show us things before they happen. Out of a love relationship with our Father will flow revelation. I mean, we many times can't figure it out on ourselves, but when we have a relationship with our Father, it brings forth revelation that we need to know what we are to do. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. On to Acts 2:17-18, it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. We remind him that in Douglas all the time. Father, you said, you promised, you would pour out your spirit on all flesh. All of Douglas. Hallelujah. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and the old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Prophecy is really important because it's what God's wanting to say coming out of our mouth. And when we have God's heart on what he's wanting to say and do, and we speak it forth, it brings life. It births things. It brings it to life. Hallelujah. Prophecy speaks God's light and God's will into a situation. It gives his purpose and plan voice and sets it in motion. Habakkuk 2, 1 through 2. It says, and I will stand my watch and set myself at the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. You know, we need to pay attention to what God's saying to us. And then often when he says something, it's a correction. And are we going to obey? We're going to say, okay, Lord, yeah. Amen. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Clarity is power. When we know what God wants, we write it down, we follow it. Clarity in what God's purpose is power. Clarity in anything is power. You can, if there's clarity, if there's a clear vision, people can run with it. Revelation comes from God. While the number one weapon of the devil is deception and confusion. The devil brings deception and confusion, but revelation comes from God. Maldo, would you hand those papers out, please, to everybody? We're going to go over our church purposes and our vision as a church family. And I should have had him pass it out. Hallelujah. God is so good. So good, so good. Just while he's passing that out, I just got to share a testimony. Calvin and I went on a 9-day trip into Mexico. We had planned to go a week before last, Thursday to Saturday to Compass, like we often do. And on Tuesday, all day, I kept saying, the Lord says, I need you in Navajoa. You need to go on to Navajoa. And I just kept feeling it, but it wasn't in our plans. We didn't have it mapped out. It wasn't all together. It was suddenly because we were getting ready to go. And so I was thinking, well, you know, I'm not going to say anything. Well, that evening, Calvin said, all day long, I've been feeling God wants us to go to Navajoa, go on further. Well, while we were gone, these 9 days, we spent time fellowshipping and ministering to 12 different pastors, all the way from Alamo, Sonora, you know, up into the Compass area. There were a lot of people, a lot of ministers that were going through some really heavy things, and they just needed to talk about it and needed prayer and counsel and love and take it to the Lord. But it was like there was a situation in Navajoa. They needed us right then. And it was just so, praise God. God knows. One of the things we did, they're still working on that. Just a minute, I'll be back to that. Another testimony I've just got to tell you. We stopped in Guaymas, and there's people there, friends of ours, that do Saturday services for the homeless. And they have about 150 men, mostly men, some women come every week. And they preach, they sing, they preach, they pray for people. They have a big meal prepared for them every Saturday. And we got there when a man was already preaching. There was a man preaching when we arrived there. And he just kept telling the people over and over again, God doesn't want you to be here homeless on the streets. He wants to give you a job. He wants to change your life and turn your life around. And he said it quite a few times, and I was thinking, well, is he really feeling for these people? I mean, does he know what they're going through? And sometimes our mind plays funny games with us, and this is kind of what I was thinking, which is bad. Immediately when it was over and I went up to talk to the director, Cindy, Candy, one of the couples you met, when I went to talk to her, she said, the man that preached got saved here right in these homeless meetings. And now he's a pastor of a church here in town. Yes. Hallelujah. And then she said the last week, they feed about 150 men, and they keep their plate. They get in line, keep their plate. They can go to the end of the line, and they can just keep filling up. Some of them eat three plates full of food. They just keep serving it till it's all gone, and it's really good homemade food, so God's good. But the week before, she said there was a 14-year-old. I don't know if he had run away or what, but he had walked some distance, and he came, and they gave him a plate of food at the end, and he ate it, and then he just started bawling. And they says, what is wrong? Why are you crying? And he said, I hadn't had any food in 7 days, and you gave me food. Touched his heart. So God, it's good. We just heard lots of awesome testimonies, but we're going to go over our purpose, our Faith Ministries Church purpose and vision. One of our purposes is to prepare an atmosphere for the presence of the Lord so that the gifts of the Spirit and miracles will be in continual operation. We want have a vision to our vision is to take it to the streets, take the presence of God outside the walls, ministering to people where they are, reconciling men to God. We're called to be a house of prayer, and we are standing in the gap until our community has an Acts chapter 2 class revival where multitudes are saved. We keep our focus on loving God and loving people, being quick to forgive. Our purpose is to have a loving family atmosphere so people feel like they've come home when they come to Faith Ministries Church. Love people as they are while the Word of God and His presence transforms them. I'm going to say a few things after that. When people are sick, they go to a hospital, you know. And people that are sick in sin or problems, they need to come to the church in the state they are. We need to love them like they are as they come in. People go to the hospital to get well. And people who are spiritually sick need to hear the Word of God and be in His presence to get whole. You know, when you hear the Word and you worship the Lord, it just brings a healing. It begins to heal you. Hallelujah. After someone is born again, there's a period of transformation. Actually, all of us are all in transformation. It doesn't ever end. God changes us every day, works on us every day. Jesus loves us where we are, but He loves us too much to leave us where we are. He wants us better. While we welcome everyone hungry for God to come to church, the shepherd's job is to protect the sheep from wolves and goats. Wolves are people under the demonic influence that come to prey on the sheep. You know, so if someone comes with a evil spirit of a wolf coming to eat the sheep, then, you know, we have to say, okay, no. And also to protect them from goats. Goats are people not surrendered to God, controlled by their own ego, influenced by evil spirits that like to butt people around. They want to be the top of the mountain. And, you know, that's just not the way you treat people. And so while we welcome everyone that's hungry, there is a certain element of protection where people that come in the wrong spirit, we have to stand between them and the sheep. Amen. Okay, to receive from a plural ministry where the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher corporately guide the body so that all members are involved as helps ministries and soul winners. To train believers to do the work of the ministry and send them into the harvest field. To be an agent of the Great Commission, sending missionaries into all the world. To be a blessing to our community by prayer, Christian example, and community service. To love and care for the earth that God gave us. Amen. Hallelujah. And you guys can keep those papers. It's just nice once in a while to review. This is our core values. This is where we are and what we're doing. Amen. Well, let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time in your word. We thank you that your word will be a light and a fire inside of us. We thank you, Lord, that our hunger will increase, that we will have ears to hear. And Father, I shared a lot of ways that Mexico, where we've been, has been changed. And they're serving God. And Lord, I thank you for giving us revelation, particularly for Douglas, on how to harvest the souls that are in this town, how to reach them, what to do, how to go out. Lord, we just thank you for speaking to us. Lord, we give you glory and honor and praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If there's any of you today that need prayer for sickness or any other need, we would be happy to pray for you today. Thank you, Jesus, because God is here, his power is here, his anointing is here, and he loves us. He loves us so very much, and he cares where we are and what we're going through and what we care for, he cares for. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord.